Hello and namaste. I'm Peter Furco, and this is Peter's podcast, where we talk about real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living. Thanks for joining me. Welcome to Peter's podcast. For a long time, I've thought that we focus too much on bad news in our lives, that the news has this preoccupation with things that are negative because those are the things that catch our attention. We're sort of wired for being concerned about danger. So the news focuses on that. But there's a ton of really good news. And I've been kind of excited because the New York Times is now posting a section called Not Everything is Bad, or There's Some Good Things That Happened This Week Too. And so from time to time, I'll share those on Facebook or on Instagram. If you want, you can follow me on Instagram at Peter Furco or on Facebook at Peter Furco Author, and you'll see that stuff. You can always also write to me on peterfurco.com or at my Patreon site, patreon.com/peterfurco. So with all this stuff about bad news, it's easy to get really depressed about everything. One of the ways around that is to make some time in your life, especially maybe even every day, to break from what's normally going on and to let yourself re-merge back into the consciousness that's at our basis. Wendy and Orica and I are going to make an even longer moment to move away from your normal stuff in a retreat in France this summer. It's August 14 to 19 in Normandy. It's a beautiful countryside place that used to be a camembert factory and is now refitted as a yoga and retreat center. So we're going to go there. It's actually okay to bring kids. We can talk to you about what that would cost. So if you wanted to make it more of a family thing, we can speak about the options for doing that. And we're so excited about the program that we're going to offer. We think it will be really valuable in terms of helping to create a new way of looking at life, yoga and the art of living creatively. So check it out, peterfurco.com. You can see all the details. So today, I decided to talk about Kriya Yoga, which is a very important piece of yoga. And depending on where you're approaching yoga from, it can have different meanings. I talked about the different meanings in meditation class this past week, so I thought I would share the lecture from the meditation class. So I'm going to take you over to class and play that for you. And because it's meditation class, there's also a meditation at the end of the lecture. So I've gone ahead and left the meditation practice in there as well. And feel free to do the meditation someplace that's makes sense, like in your room, not in your subway train, right? Unless you have a very long subway ride. Okay, so here we go. We're going to head over, if you have questions, let me know. Thanks. Namaste. Namaste.
Namaste.
How are we doing? All right. What are we doing? Yoga. Yoga. Sthita vritti nirodha. It's Memorial Day weekend, right? Starting now. Yeah, on Thursday, I spoke about Kriya Yoga, so maybe I'll start there and we'll see where it goes. But we were, we have this word Kriya, and it's one of the Sanskrit words that means action.
And it's the actions that you can take in, the word shows up in a bunch of different places. In the one place it shows up, it's a, like a preliminary practice. There are six kriyas that you do if you're going to do yoga as preparatory things. And they have to do with sort of hygiene and cleaning your body and getting you ready so that you could be in a steady, comfortable seat in order to do meditation practice and have a fruitful practice and not have it be plagued by different things like colds or discomfort, things like that. So kriya, that word shows up there. It shows up also through the lineage of Yogananda for us here at Ishta, as well as through some of the other teachers, as actions you can take that are purifying, not of the physical body, but purifying of your electrical system, your mental state, your psycho-spiritual, whatever you want to call it, state, what we would call prana in Sanskrit. So the kriya techniques for that are techniques you can do that shift the energy in you. And I used the example on Thursday of sound, that you can change sound, adding one sound to another, like an orchestrator might, a symphonic orchestrator might add one sound to another and shift things, shift the color of things, right? You could have the same thing in any kind of energy. You know, if you are kind of in a room full of people and everybody's sort of down, and then suddenly somebody comes in and their energy is way up here, the energy of the room shifts, right? So we can make shifts in energy, and yogis worked with like fine-tuning that. Like if you're so quiet and you add just this little bit of either an idea or a sound or a picture of something, what is the transformation that comes from that? So those kriya techniques, which is also called kriya yoga, are things that we use here at Ishta and are used in many schools of yoga. Powerful practices that you do that are on the line between physical and mental and spiritual, and they help move you to that next place, right? So if you're kind of stuck in something physical, it pushes you to the next place. If you're kind of stuck with something mental, it can push you to the next place. So kind of purification, but not in the physical exclusive way. And then the third way that Kriya Yoga, the word Kriya, comes up is in the beginning of the Yoga Sutras in the second chapter. It's about how do you practice yoga? And I always find this a very valuable thing to review, because it's the thing that we can actually do. We can, you know, we can have all our philosophy and we can occasionally have aha moments and things like that. We can have a good meditation or something like that. But what you can consistently do is Kriya Yoga, which has three parts. The first part, tapas, to purify yourself using techniques like these techniques we've been talking about, to come to a shift in yourself by doing things that are good for you, avoiding things that are bad for you, and that's got a quality of purifying, like in the metallurgical sense, right? You apply heat when a substance isn't pure and it burns off the impurities. So that's the word they used for that, tapas. It means a burning kind of purification. So sometimes that gets translated as like the traditions that became Hinduism and whatnot, like penance, right? Like you do something austerity like, and that makes you more pure, and then you're tougher at your practice, right? So sometimes it's got that kind of quality to it. It It could be anything, though, because like in our modern world, sometimes we don't have any problems at all doing things that are really hard, like we'll just go and work some more, we'll go work some more, we'll go work some more, we'll go work some more, right? And so the tapas might be settle the down, right? That might be the tapas. So it's individualized, right? What is tapas for any person? So just coming to class on a Saturday morning on Memorial Day weekend, that's a kind of tapas, right? You're doing something that's kind of challenging because it's good for you. So that's part one of yoga in practice, or the action of doing yoga, right? The second part is svadhyaya, and it means to study yourself, right? And that could have, hey, it could have a comma in it, like, you're studying on your own, but we also like to think of it as you study yourself, right? Like in the time when this was said, because it wasn't written down at first, the Yoga Sutras were spoken, you know, there wasn't written down, you didn't go read the books or stuff, you just like, you learned and studied with the teacher. And the teacher said, how are you doing? And you said whatever you said. And so there was this kind of interaction of learning and figuring out how is it working in me. And in the Yoga Sutras, and a little further down after this first initial introduction of this idea, it says, when you do self-study, you learn the Ishta Devata. Ishta is a word that we use in this studio, right? It means individualized. And devata means the light, the divine light, divine meaning what's beyond the mundane. So through self-study, you figure out what brings you beyond the mundane. How do you have the experience of enlightenment, of seeing more clearly what's going on? So the second part of the practice of yoga is to do that kind of study that helps to bring you light, clarity, understanding, knowing who you are, what works with you. You know, we do different techniques in class. Sometimes I'll hear someone say, oh, that's the one for me. I really love that one. I do it all the time, right? So you learn through self-study, right? And then you might learn down the road that, oh, I had a shift, and now that one's not working as well as this one. But if you're not doing self-study, you just get stuck. Then it becomes like a ritual. Then it becomes like religion, right? I just go do the same thing all the time. Here, we're really interested in like the science of this, like try it, what's it do? Fine tune, adjust, talk to your teacher, what do you need, blah, blah, blah. So it's going. It's a study, an ongoing study. So we're ongoingly doing yoga practice. So you have to do the tapas, you have to do the svadhyaya. And when you've done those two, the third part relates a little bit to that like workaholism part. We're very accustomed to doing more, but the nature of yoga practice that's fruitful is at a certain point, you have to stop doing. You have to surrender to the nature of things. And in people, the nature of things is that we have a part of us that's very much engaged in the regular living, but then we have a part of us that is there, and it's just like our baseline. Just like we breathe, and we breathe with intentions right now, like, because I just said that, you probably just became aware of your breath. So you're watching your breath, or you're breathing, or making sure you're breathing well, or whatever. But also, we don't have to breathe, right? Breathing is just a precondition of being alive. There's not a time when you stop breathing and don't pick it up again, except when you're no longer living, right? In the same way, we have a component of us that does things, but we also have this base component of us that's consciousness, it's awareness. And you can't make yourself awareness, right? You simply are. So part of the practice of yoga, the actions that you take, is a not action, right? It's a, I'm going to do these preliminary things, and then I have to accept at a certain point that there's not anything I can do to have the experience of feeling myself as I am. I just have to let go. And our little skeptical part will often say, it makes no sense to me that I can't just fix this or do this. And that requires tapas to say, shut up now, right? You have to just be nothing right now. And to trust that that's a part of what we are, right? To trust that there is this natural progression. And anyone who's been doing a meditation practice for a while comes to that place where you're like, holy crap, I couldn't do this before. And now I just had like this like moments of silence, right? So you have to trust that part, even when it's hard, which is the tapas, right? Know what helps you get there, which is the svadhyaya, and then you have to let go. And trust that you're just gonna keep going through this sort of cycle of getting better and better and better at it. So that's the third kind of kriya yoga. Questions about any of that? ¿Cómo estás? Okay? Good. All right. So today we're going to do the Ishta Diksha, which is a practice that helps to walk you through the steps of states of mind that naturally occur in us. The first state, beta wave state, we're active, we're outward, we're focused, we're thinking, we're doing, right? Then we come into another state that's more like daydream, more like those moments you find yourself kind of withdrawing from what's around you, you space out, we say, right? You lose track of time. Then we come into like more of like a hypnagogic state where you're like literally almost falling asleep. And then if you can hold yourself not to go into the habit of falling asleep during those times, then there's that letting go where you're no longer trying to think, you're no longer trying to do, you're no longer engaged. There may be thoughts, right? It's very hard to stop your mind from having thoughts. But you can find this distinction between the thoughts that are going by and the me, right? Like I, my thoughts. And when that happens, when you have that noticing, you notice I am not my thoughts, right? There's this I that's aware of the thoughts, okay? In the very beginning of the Yoga Sutras, in the first chapter, it says, yoga is the quieting down of all the activity of your mind. Later it says how you do that, right? By practicing yoga. How do you practice? Tapas, svadhyaya, ishvara, pranidhana, right? So, but when you do that, when you can find that stilling of the mind, then you see yourself as who you are. At other times, in other words, when the mind is not quiet, you identify as your thoughts. So in those other times, you think, you don't even think about it. You just are thinking your thoughts, right? I'm the teacher, I'm blah, blah, I got here by going on that route, you know, all those things. Those are just utterly preoccupying you to the point where you identify as that. Right. So in this practice of doing yoga, where the mind gets quieter and quieter and quieter, there can be this distinction between I and my thoughts. And that's Yogananda, who brought some of the Kriya techniques we do, called that self-realization. You recognize who you are. And then from that point, you can be in a place where, okay, I don't have to be so engaged with my thoughts. And the longer you let yourself be there, the more likely this natural state occurs where you're just more kind of floating, right? You're just consciousness without stuff in it. But you can't do that. So it's almost, I don't know, it's just kind of like interesting to talk about it. But it doesn't even matter, right? What matters is that you do the three parts and you just let go after the doing. So the Ishta Diksha lets you do that by pulling your focus inward using alternate nostril breathing, doing Hamsa Kriya, so you're really in the center line of your system, which is the part that's most like a superhighway between out in the world and this consciousness alone, self-realization. So we'll do Hamsa. As you do this, there's, it depends, it's individual, but sometimes you start to get kind of quiet through that practice. And if you do, rather than bringing this energy up and down in such a big fashion, you can just sort of minimize the movement. So maybe from the heart center up to the midbrain and back. And then your breath starts to reflect the quiet of your mind, so your breath gets very shallow, and you can just let go at that point and be here. And when you put your focus in the middle of your mind, very often you'll see light, you might hear sounds whooshing like the ocean, ringing. In the literature, it gives all this elaborate stuff. You might hear the sound of a horn, you might hear the sound of the veena, which Saraswati is playing over here, right? Whatever it is, you might have experience there. But you just let go. You're no longer trying to do. And then from there, there's just whatever, right? You just allow, okay? So I'm saying all that now so that I don't have to talk too much when you're trying to meditate, right? Because that can be distracting. So we're gonna do alternate nostril breathing, I'll lead you through that. We're gonna do Hamsa Kriya, I'll lead you through that. I'll say it might get quieter so you can get smaller. And then I'm gonna stop talking, okay? And then you'll just let go when it feels like the right moment. And you'll allow yourself just to look inward, not with your eyes, because that will give you strain and headaches and stuff. Just your imagination is in here. And you just let go. And sometimes it just feels like, oh, I'm in a space now. I'm in somewhere. Or my, like the whole, like I'm not in anatomy anymore. So you just let go. Whatever comes, comes. Your mind will get distracted. You just pull it back. In the beginning of practice, we have to do asana and alternate nostril breathing and all these techniques. But once you're already here, you don't need such a big thing to pull yourself back. You can use a mantra, mam, right? It's like if I slowed this bell down and it got really big, or you came to the gong bath on the solstice or something, right? Except lower, mam, okay? So it's like you hit it, and then it just rings all the way to silence, and hopefully that will pull you back to silence. If you need to later on, just do it again, okay? Questions? We're all veterans here. Excellent. All right, come on to all fours, and we'll do some premeditative asana.
Great. The class right now is going to do a little bit of asana. If you are going to do the meditation, you might want to do that too. You could just stand up and stretch, or do a little cat-cow, downward facing dog, and then pick it up again when we start the meditation. Since we have this little break, I wanted to ask you to please support my podcast on patreon.com. This is how I fund the podcast. You go to patreon.com/peterspodcast, and there you can find the opportunity to support me at any level that makes sense to you. And some of the levels have some nice rewards, like I'll come up with a mantra for you, or you can even have a private session with me online. A number of people have taken advantage of that and are very happy about having done it. So you can do that. I mentioned earlier, we're going to France. My class list, including when I'm going to teach, and all the information about the yoga retreat are on peterfurco.com. So please go check that out. And I hope you enjoy the meditation. Here we go.
Bring your palms together in front of the heart center. Begin to let your focus move away from what's going on the outside. You're coming into a space that you're creating. But we're all creating this, and we all have the potential to do this. That's the Ishvara Pranidhana, to trust that the universe has this as part of us. Go ahead and let your left hand relax down. With your right hand, we'll start alternate nostril breathing. So you can use the first two fingers on your forehead or tucked into your palm, the ring finger and thumb. Find the side of your nose where the bony part ends and it becomes soft. Then feel, by closing one side then the other, doing a little test, which side is more open right now. And we'll start by breathing into the more open side. So block the other side, take a full breath in, close both, and breathe out through the other side. Breathe back in the side you just breathed out, hold and block both, and then exhale out the first side. We'll repeat this now, out and in, then switch, out and in the other side, and then switch. If you happen to get distracted, just pick up again. Start over, out and back in one side, and then out and back in the other side. Of alternate nostril breathing that's necessary is going to vary. You'll know it's working when you start becoming less concerned with what's happening outside. The whole point of this practice is to balance your energy, to pull you into that daydreaming state. Where the brain waves shift in their frequency. From normal, awake, active, into that state of calm, withdrawing. So whenever you start to feel that, help keep focused inward by keeping your eyes closed. And whenever that happens, go ahead and let your right hand relax down over your knee, joining your index finger and thumb on both hands. Move your attention into the center line. And now from the pelvic floor, we'll begin to move energy, the energy that you typically use for living, for sustaining. We'll redirect that energy toward seeing who I am at my source, transforming the use of energy for clear seeing, knowing, inspiration. So the mantra turns around as well. From the base, draw your energy up the center line with the mantra, hum. And when it reaches the midbrain, let it turn around and come back down to the mantra, sa. Hum, energy up. Sa, energy back down. Through this repetition, we begin to magnetize this line, so to speak, to make it attracting for our focus. We begin to concentrate inward. is so simple but so powerful. It anchors us on the right pathway so that we can move easily between our states of mind. As you continue, allow your breath to start to go to whatever rhythm and depth it wants to. It might even not be very consistent, that's fine too. Your breath will reflect your state of mind. And I'm going to let you be on your own, but just as the reminder, when your breath starts to soften, when your focus starts to come in, your mind gets more still, the big movement from the base all the way to the midbrain and back might start to feel long, far, too much time. So your shallower breath might only want to move your focus from the heart center up to the midbrain and back, and then eventually to let go in the midbrain altogether. At that point, tap or moisten the point between your eyebrows and surrender inward. Letting go, Ishvara Pranidhana, surrendering to the way things are, who you are. If you need a mantra to help pull you back from distraction, Mom, I'm going to be quiet now. You might hear me pass by it when I do Shaktipat. There's nothing you need to do.
let your attention recollect. Take your hands together in front of the heart center, in front of your chest, and gently move them. Feel the tingle of touch. Pull your hands slightly apart, and you may feel a warmth in your hands, even without them touching. Whatever you feel, bring your hands up over your eyes. Feel the warmth of your hands on your eyes. And draw your hands down your face to the jaw, around the jawline to the back of your neck. And then from there around to the throat in front. And then re-grounding yourself, bringing yourself back into connection with your physical self. Bring your hands from your throat down to the chest, down to your navel, down to the pubic line. And then separate your hands, bring them from the hips down each leg, rubbing on your thighs and around your knee joints. And if it's convenient, you can rub all the way down to the soles of your feet. Otherwise, just feel your feet on the ground. Feel yourself reconnected with the earth. And this concludes our meditation. Namaste.